I've got Peter Mercado into the wrong network. I thought he was still working for the national broadcaster, but he's not. He's working for the commercial one. You've sold out, you. Peter Mercado's on the line from Perth. He's over there for the Channel 7 network. Hello, Pete.
Been through more stations than the 459 to Dandenong, Kev. And, yes. I'll rival you in terms of stations work. Mind you, I haven't rated as high as you have.
No, thank you. I actually haven't been in that many stations in my for the amount of years I've been in. I haven't been at that many. But no, you're over there for Channel 7. I apologise for that. I just immediately think Hop and Cup and think Channel 7. I think Channel 2.
I thought that, you know, there was a contract, something that I didn't know about. Thinking, wow, I openly welcome that. It's like, Kev, you've taken over my management, which is great because I don't have anyone at the moment. So, you know, you're more than welcome to.
Fair enough. I'll see what I can do. I'll get my people to talk to your people. Clearly, I haven't got any and neither of you. So.
No, exactly.
Now, Rog lost last night. Now, what did you take out of that and what did he take out of it?
You take out plenty of it last night. What an atmosphere. 13,700 odd turned up. It was fantastic. The Perth Arena, another sellout, another record crowd. 766776. He's taking on a bloke who is really heading towards the top 10 in 2017 in Alexander Zverev or Sasha Zverev. 19 years of age. He has had a breakthrough 2016. He beat Roger Federer last year on the grass courts. So, you know, he's got the head-to-head record against him. And when we consider how long Roger Federer has had out of the game, he's at 6 months off. He came here wanting a decent hit out. He wanted quality matches. He had an easier start against Dan Evans a couple of nights ago. Got through that, ticked all the boxes there. And he wanted a really tough hit out. Well, he certainly got one. All tiebreakers. He'd be reasonably happy with the way he played. Obviously, you know, it's going to take a little while to get back to the full Roger Federer match fitness. He's got a tough match against Richard Gasquet. But, no, he was impressive, but so was Alexander Zverev. He was sensational last night. So I think, you know, while he lost, he could take plenty from the match.
Tell us about Alexander Zverev. What's his story?
Former number one junior in the world, won the Australian Open junior title along the way. He's actually from a long line of tennis players. His father, who's actually his coach, actually played on the ATP Tour, who's Alexander Senior. His brother, Misha, is playing as well, the older brother. And you just imagine, we're talking about it in the coverage, that, you know, he plays against the older brother and the older brother routinely beats him. And then that'd be that tipping point where he'd win over the elder brother, and then that'd be it. And he's just gone past him. So Misha playing up in Brisbane at the moment, his ranking's a little bit lower than Sasha's at the moment. So, you know, he's in that sort of tennis mindset. And certainly he's been working very hard in the off-season. He made a huge breakthrough, as I said. He won his first ATP title. He's beaten some of the best players in the world and pushed some of the others in 2016. And he arrived here, actually, in terms of his preparation. He arrived here on Christmas Eve. So you get an idea of the players and, you know, you can sort of spend time in Europe or the US or something over Christmas. But to actually get here before Christmas, training on Christmas Day at the State Tennis Centre, it's all business for him. And he's got one of the most explosive games. I mean, he hits the ball so hard. He's got great control. He's got a great team around him. And I tell you what, Kev, he is one of the players to watch this year. Don't worry about that.
Okay. Now, Rog, obviously, this is a building process for him. He's talking about the business the second week of the Australian Open. Is he looking in good enough fettle to be around for the second week of the Australian Open?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the tricky thing this year, Kev, with Roger is that he's going to get a lower seeding than what he's had for a long time, obviously being part of the Big Four and inside the top 10.
So less protected this year.
Sorry?
Less protected this year.
Correct. So it means that, you know, he will get some seeding protection, obviously. So he will be playing players that are ranked below him. So he should be able to get through the first couple of rounds. It just means, though, that the potential for him to meet a big name happens a lot quicker in the tournament than, say, you know, the quarterfinals or the semifinals. So it's a potential sort of third round, fourth round blockbuster match. So certainly he can get to that stage based on the body of work here because, you know, he's come prepared. He hasn't turned up and said, oh, well, I've had 6 months off. I've just gotten out of the armchair and I'm going to pick up a racket and away I go.
Yeah.
He's been training pretty hard at his base in Dubai. He's been match fit and match ready for a couple of weeks leading up to this, but just wanted to make sure that everything was 100%, and certainly it is at the moment. So, you know, he's got a good match against Richard Gasquet. That'll sort of round out most of the preparation heading into Melbourne. He'd be happy with that. A lot of training to come next week and then get into it. So, you know, obviously we know he can travel the best in the world, and certainly on the form we're seeing on his day, he can knock over the best in the world. But it's going to be tricky because he's meeting them a lot earlier in the tournament.
Is the conditions in Perth, you mentioned yesterday when we spoke, you know, 39 degrees, very oppressive. Is that that obviously factors into the way they prepare themselves and what they need to do to make sure that he is right for the second week of the Australian Open?
Well, they say the players that they love coming here because of the conditions, and it's a good simulation of what they get at Rod Laver Arena in a couple of weeks' time. The stadium is similar, obviously, with a retractable roof. The conditions with the heat, this is what they want. They want to be preparing in these sort of conditions. If they shut the roof, it was 41 or 40 degrees yesterday. If they shut the roof, then they don't necessarily get that preparation when they have to step out onto court three or something at Melbourne Park where it's going to be 38 degrees in the dry heat as well.
Yep.
So that's what they want. This is why they're here. They get the three guaranteed matches. They get the best opportunity in the most similar conditions to what they're going to face at Melbourne Park. So that's one of the real appeals of this Hopman Cup, the fact that they do get that guarantee all the way through. Yes, it's in a relaxed environment, but every second day that they're not playing, the players are out there practicing and training and working hard because they know the ultimate goal is coming up at Melbourne Park in a couple of weeks' time.
It's amazing. I find the enormity of the tennis schedule always amazes me, that they do keep going, you know, right till almost the end of the year, and they just the grind of that schedule is just quite amazing for those top players.
It's the balance between actually switching off at the end of the season versus, oh, hang on, it's coming around again. We've got to pick the racket up and get back into it. And
yeah.
Every player is different in terms of their season. So if you don't make the end of year finals in London for the ATP and in Singapore for the WTA or the Davis Cup or Fed Cup finals, then you can finish a little bit earlier and get a little bit more of a break in your tennis. So it's important that they have that balance and they have a few weeks off and get a chance to go home and visit friends and family. But, you know, some players, like Sasha Zverev, for example, he actually trained over November and December in Florida down at Tampa with a whole bunch of other players who were there getting themselves ready. And it was not necessarily out there on the court, but it's all the strength and conditioning work and the fitness work, because you're right, Kev, it is such a long season and you need that endurance to be able to get through. And I guess the best example of that is Andy Murray. And you look at Andy Murray and what he did at the end of season championships and the way he was moving around the court, it was like it was the first week of the season.
Yeah.
But that's because of the hard work he's done in the preseason to get his body right. That's all the hard yards, running up the sand dunes and all of that sort of thing that he does. So that by the time he gets to the end of November, he's still got enough petrol in the tank to be able to get himself over the line and be able to get to the number one player in the world and play a high level of tennis.
The only difference between that and, I guess, AFL footy is that they're peaking for four sort of Grand Slam tournaments during the year, whereas an AFL footballer really wants to be at his very best come Grand Final day.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing too is they're playing week in, week out, the AFL players. They train three times a week. They're at a home base. They don't have to travel very far, comparatively speaking. So, you know, it's always that thing of, and Nick Kyrgios is a case in point, because he's talked about his schedule and part of the reason, you know, he had the meltdowns and all the problems, all that sort of stuff, was playing week in, week out. Didn't really suit him. So, okay, he's going to take a step back, maybe spend some more time at home and balance it out that way. Roger Federer's not going to play a full schedule this year. He hasn't for a long time. He picks and chooses what tournaments he wants to play. Serena Williams is the same.
Yep.
So, you know, you're right. They do prepare themselves for those big Grand Slams for the players on the ATP. It's a Masters Series events, the ones with the 1,000 ranking points as well. So they get themselves there, and they know their bodies. They know what levels they need to get to. They know how many matches they require to get to that level, to be at that peak performance. So while it is a long season, and a lot of the players out there are playing week in, week out, the top players have a really good understanding of their schedule and can adjust it as they need to. If they need a week off, okay, they'll take the week off. Or if they need an extra week, they'll add the extra week. So they've got a bit of flexibility in there outside of the four Grand Slams and the Masters events and the Premier events of the WTA.
Yeah, it's going to be a terrific summer of tennis. Looking forward to it, Pete, and looking forward to catching up with you again soon.
Yep, absolutely, Kev. Look forward to it.
Peter Mercado there from Channel 7 joining us on the back of Roger Federer's loss last night to that up-and-coming player, Alexander Zverev. Lost last night in three sets, but a good hit out for him as we head towards the big stuff, which, of course, is the Australian Open.